is S. All. One.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
On a school night.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to another glorious round, another glorious year here on SR1 Sundays, News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. If you're listening on the old beautiful FM radio. But if you miss us, if you're streaming us, catch us on Rumble, anywhere podcasts are found. I think you're going to hear more and more and more places you can find us this year. 2024 is upon us. The fireworks are still raging just days after the ball was dropped. The new year has arrived. 2024 is here. And the Missouri legislature has gaveled back in on January 3rd. Now, there are many things that have been happening in this short week of 2024. Many important things are happening, many things to keep your eye on. But in my opinion, here is our standing three count. One, the Missouri Freedom Caucus has announced it is finally here to ensure Missourians have a voice in their state capitol once again. A voice that aligns with the Republican Party platform and makes sure all elected officials stick to it and the Constitution. Two, more Missouri shakeup as one congressman resigns. What conservative fighter will answer the call to serve our people in D.C.? And are there more announcements coming on other retirements of other congresspeople? Three, more info on who and what was on Epstein's planes on his island and who attended these events. All of this stuff is coming out this week. What do we make of it? What does it mean? Is it more bread and circus, or will something actually occur to these criminal scumbags? So let's just start with the one thing that I know is for sure. With all the stuff that's going on in the world, with verge of World War III getting closer and closer, Joe Biden continuing to forget where he is. Is he still going to be on the ballot? One thing is for sure, throughout all of that, the Missouri Freedom Caucus is here to stay. Joined by a group of over 150 constituents this past week, it was glorious to see freezing cold weather outside on the steps of the original state capitol in St. Charles County. And, you know, maybe we should have a talk about returning to that building, because I think government has grown outside of its intended britches. But joined with over 150 people that were there. There were two different events. There was the kickoff, and then there was a luncheon fundraiser to go inside out of the cold and talk to some of our constituents, some of the citizens that are very interested to join forces with this Freedom Caucus. But Friday, it marked the official launch date. I know we've talked about the Missouri Freedom Caucus. We've discussed that it would be a force coming into this 2024 session. But the kickoff was something that I thought it went very well. Over 150 people from all over the state, Kansas City, Northern Missouri, Mid-Missouri, Southern Missouri, and here in our own backyard, they joined forces with us. We had Andy Roth, the guy who runs the entire Freedom Caucus Network. We are the 12th state now that has said we are tired of the status quo. We are tired of what we, the people, actually want going by the wayside to do lobbyist bidding, special interest bidding. And sometimes you need, and I've said this before, sometimes you need to listen to the lobbyists. I think the majority of the lobbyists that are there in the building in the state capitol in Missouri, they're doing their job. They're advocating for whatever group they represent. And there are good lobbyists out there. There are good groups out there. Case in point, if you're a gun owner, where do you go? You got the Missouri Firearms Coalition. You've got the NRA, both of which have lobbyists. If you're pro-life, well, you've got many different pro-life organizations, and they have lobbyists too. But there's a time and place to deal with those type of situations that outside third-party interest groups are trying to push in our capital. That's why we have this legislative process. That's why we have two different chambers, the House and the Senate, to deal with these things and to debate. But what should come first is what we the people want. And when it aligns with our constitutional rights, protecting our constitutional rights, shrinking this overgrown government, that should absolutely be prioritized. And that's some of the things that we discussed Friday at the Freedom Caucus official launch. You know, Congressman Eric Burleson was there. He spent a lot of time in the Missouri State Capitol. He was in the state representative. He was in as state senator. And this is someone, you know, coming from Springfield, Missouri. He's gotten beat up by media. I think The Daily Show had something on him or one of the bills that he was pushing. But this is the guy, Congressman Eric Burleson, now congressman. He is the one that said, screw it. I'm not going to listen to these outside sources. I'm not going to listen to the swamp. I'm not going to listen to those saying just go along to get along. No, he went along with we the people and what we wanted. And that's why we have constitutional carry. You know, it's funny that you have to pass a law to get closer to the intent of the Constitution. He's the one that passed the Second Amendment Preservation Act saying, look, these new laws that are coming out of the Biden administration trying to take our lawful guns, trying to take our lawful magazines, extensions, hand grips, all of these things. We're not going to do that. We're not going to use our resources, our men and women in blue, to do your unlawful bidding. But, you know, this comes at an interesting time. Congressman Burleson just got into Congress, won an election 2022. Last year was his first year. And he was the first member of the Missouri delegation to join the Congressional House Freedom Caucus. Guys that I respect wholeheartedly, Chip Roy, Byron Donalds, the list goes on. Jim Jordan's another one. And these are individuals that will face tyranny in the eye and say, we ain't going anywhere, pal. We are going to do the work that our founders intended. We're going to do the work that we, the people, sent us here to do. But before we get into more about the Freedom Caucus, I do want to drop that little tease, as they say in Radio Land. See, I still don't know what the hell I'm doing with radio, but I do know that you should tease some of the upcoming things. And we're going to be talking about some of the absences or absence as of right now in a constitutional freedom fighter to step up and take the bull by the horns, because there is an opening Congressional District 3. Blaine Lutkemeyer, who's been in Missouri, I think one of the longest serving Missouri congressmen, has announced he's going to be retiring. We're going to look into that. Why is he retiring? You know, we heard the rumors last year. I think on this network, on Newstalk STL, we heard the rumors, and they were quickly dispelled by individuals that were in the know. But now we see the retirement. Are there more retirements? Who's going to step up? And talk about some of the names and so much more later on in the show. But what the fireworks have started. The fireworks have officially started in the Missouri Capitol. Because it was just, Wednesday, the middle of the week, when we went back into session. And immediately, when you kick off session and read the Bill of Rights, and there's nothing that's going on. I mean, there's nothing that's really moving the ball along to where a bill is on the floor. You know, if somebody talks for 10 minutes, 20 minutes about the importance of the Constitution, you're not obstructing anything from happening because the bills haven't even been read into the journal. And that's the technical talk of how a bill becomes a law. When you look at the bills been filed, all of these bills that were filed at pre-filing period in December, well, they've got to be read first in the journal. The journal opened back up on January 3rd. Bill of Rights was read. But before those bills could be read into the journal, senators stand up, make introductions, talk about some of the new staff that they have, talk about any changes in their office. And after the Bill of Rights was read, I had and it wasn't a speech. A lot of people have been saying, I gave a speech. There was an inquiry. There was a conversation with somebody that I had a conversation with on this show just several weeks ago, and that's Senator Rick Bratton from the eastern side of the western side of the state. And Senator Bratton spoke to me after the President Pro Tem, Caleb Rowden, gave a speech. And it's a speech on its surface I think everyone can agree with. Caleb Rowden gives a speech indicating that, look, No matter what happened in the past, it might be somebody's last year. It's his last year in the Missouri legislature. It's Bill Eigel's last year, Andrew Koenig's last year, Denny Hoskins last year. A lot of these individuals in the Senate, and there's a lot in the Missouri House, Dean Plocker and many more. So speaking of what we the people want and prioritizing what we should be doing in this building, in the Missouri Capitol, it should start with working for we the people. You just heard me seconds ago talk about how important that is and how important it is to the Freedom Caucus. But when I was questioned by Rick Bratton, you know, hey, let's give a real quick synopsis of what happened last year. It was my first year in the Missouri Senate. Do you think that we were doing the people's work? And I gave a strong heck no. I would have said something different, but I don't think I could get away with saying that on the Senate floor. But no, absolutely not. When the bickering, the slap fighting, the infighting of individuals that are older than me, and keep in mind, I'm the youngest Republican, just turned 38, the youngest Republican in the Missouri Senate. And I'm dealing with individuals that are my parents' age, acting like they're worse behaved than some of the kids that my girls go to school with. And it's a shame to see that even though this crap happened last year and the year before, the year before, the year before, where the Democrats win because of the political infighting, the personal attacks, the name calling and all of that, that it still doesn't change. Reminds me of Einstein's saying of, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's the Missouri legislature for you. You keep putting people in leadership that when the going gets tough and the tough gets going, they're not bashing heads together to say, look, guys, set all this drama aside, because in the business world, your ass would be fired. But I gave my two cents. I talked about, look, we just heard the Bill of Rights. We talked about the importance of individual rights. Let us think back on that oath that we took. When you put your name on that piece of paper to say, I want to run for office. Well, why? Is it to make friends in Missouri Capitol? No. In relationships, yes, they are important to an extent. Is it there to make friends with the lobbyists? Again, same thing. No. But again, relationships are important to an extent. I'm not telling you to go down there and be best friends, but don't piss on the wheels of progress. Don't try to burn every bridge down. And that's what, you know, the treatment of the media, or the treatment of the Republicans in the media, by the media, it's very similar to how the Freedom Caucus or actual conservative Republicans that want to stand by the party platform, that's how we're treated. The same manner that Republicans are treated by mass media. It's a different standard. If you want to jump on board and claim that you're a Republican, but continue forcing big spending, government expansion, and forgetting about tax cuts, forgetting about standing up for our Second Amendment rights, forgetting about being pro. If you're forgetting that you're a Republican, mainstream media will love you. And so will the establishment and status quo in Jefferson City, in Washington, D.C. But we're going to dive into a lot more of this. But just this Wednesday, this speech that people say I gave, it ticked off everybody, because I said, look, stop bending a knee blindly to the party, Republican or Democrat. Stop blindly just supporting anything that leadership says needs to get done. Stop bending a knee to the lobbyists. Stop bending a knee to anyone but the Constitution, the Lord above, and the people we serve. Let us do the bidding of we the people and not the party, and get all of these personal attacks and personal beefs. Get that off the field of play. So I'm going to talk to you here in a couple minutes about what actually happened thereafter the next day. But that speech, those words alone, reminding people what the purpose of this job is and what we should be prioritizing. I praised everybody too, because we all have jobs. We've been entrusted by the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that we represent to go down there and fight for their rights, fight for their individual rights, fight for their constitutional rights. And grassroots individuals that heard that speech praised it. Grassroots people that were there or listening online. You can always listen to senate.mo.gov. house.mo.gov to the speeches that are going on, the debates that are going on. We the people loved it. The grassroots people loved it because it resonated with everyone. Republican, Democrat, black, white. Yes, let's do the people's bidding and stop all of this garbage of the mudslinging. But guess who didn't like it? The status quo. We've had people in leadership saying, don't do that. Don't get up and speak because you'll be perceived as being somebody who's an obstacle. You're damn right I should be an obstacle because I've got the Constitution, the guide, which I will never abandon. And I won't abandon you, even though we've got to take a quick break. So stick with us here, Newstalk STL. Keep standing, keep fighting, but come right back.
Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz.
Welcome back to round two here on Newstalk STL, SR1 Sundays. Thank you, Phil Valencia, for all the bell ringing you did back in 2023. But there's going to be a hell of a lot more that you're going to have to do. So I'm hoping you're doing your bicep curls, working out them forearms. Because let's hear it again. Let's hear that bell. Man, that's a glorious sound because it is the sound of freedom here in the good old Show Me State. Now, many people that you've seen in the media are attacking the Freedom Caucus. We just talked about what happened the first day of just discussing what the Freedom Caucus is. We will be the line in the sand when it comes to government expansion, big spending, the refusal in a supermajority state to abide by the Republican Party. Yes, we will be the line in the sand, but there are things that we want. There are things that we want, and if you want to get things done, jump aboard and let's start getting some Republican Party platform issues done. There was a promise made. There was a promise made that we would be dealing with education reform in the second week. Well, we're just hours away from the second week of session, and we don't have a damn bill that's been referred. We're going to get into that and a little bit more in the hour. But I do want to, before we get away from how crazy the news media cycle has been, this Epstein thing is very interesting to me. You know, with me being an attorney and doing a lot of criminal defense in my time, now as a lawmaker, I'm not doing criminal defense any longer, but I'm the vice chair of judiciary in the state of Missouri, in the Missouri Senate. And it's curious to me that all of a sudden, to start 2024 off, when there's talk about, the virus is coming back, we got to mask up. All of this different talk about World War III popping off. You've got the Israel-Hamas situation, Russia and Ukraine. Are there more hacks happening across the United States to a lot of our infrastructure? Yeah, that's happening. Who's doing it? We don't know. The China-Taiwan issue. I mean, you name it. North Korea, South Korea. All of this stuff is boiling over. But finally, we are hearing that the Epstein files are being released. And it's curious to me. It's very strategic. Strategery. As George W. Bush would say, it's very strategic how this is finally getting to the general public. And I've got a few questions, and I think all of you do too. I've got a couple clips too, discussing how this is being dealt with in the media. Now, we've heard for years that this Epstein guy and Ghislaine Maxwell are freaks, are criminals, are pimps. We've heard all of this stuff. And guess what? Mainstream media and the Democrats did. And not even the Democrats, just the swampy elected officials, bureaucrats, everybody was hating on the people bringing forth the facts because now it's true. Now we see that it's true. But all of these discussions that happened over the past few years, we were all discounted and said, you're a conspiracy theorist. Go the hell away. You don't know what you're talking about. We're going to sue you. So quickly brushed all of this stuff away, but then the charges came after Epstein, the guy who didn't hang himself, and that's a totally different discussion. So let's not go there tonight. But the whole Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell stuff. Do you hear anybody in the media that was saying, no, this is a right-wing conspiracy theory. This is tinfoil hat-wearing QAnon lovers. Is there any apology to the people that said, watch out for these knuckleheads. Watch out for these criminals. Don't get caught anywhere close to these criminals. No, there's not. And similar to back in, 2020? 2021, whenever that was, when the Democrats came after me and you had to post disgrace publishing articles claiming that there was people following me, claiming that I didn't live in my district, claiming that I broke the law. Were there any apologies after we whooped their ass in the trial court, the appellate court, and the Missouri Supreme Court? No, there wasn't. So don't expect, if you were one of those pushing this narrative that Epstein is a creepo freako criminal that should be locked up, same with Maxwell, same with all those people that were on the list, don't expect an apology. But do hear me out. Because we've heard about this stuff for years. Now we're seeing that it is true, allegedly true. And I'm going to say allegedly with everything that I don't know is 100% factual. Because even look at the flamethrower incident just a couple of months ago with me, 30 million plus views on one video alone that alleged myself, Senator Igel, and others were burning books. You had to have an uprising fighting back with the media to get them to actually fact check it and say, yeah, they kind of screwed up. Some of that stuff's happening right now with the Epstein list. Because you go on social media, you'll see all of these different documents that are out there. You'll see the lists themselves of the flight logs. You'll see depositions of all different kinds of people, including Epstein and Maxwell. People are causing these heinous acts out for years, but nothing's been done. Now we finally have some documentation, but we don't know what's true. So let's start there with, this has been happening for years. Did law enforcement know about it? Did our government know about it? Did individuals in the political world know about it? I think so. But why did they do nothing? Why was nothing done if all of these allegations were true? That this island was some sex trafficking, horrific place where sexual acts were done on minors? Like, why the hell was nothing done? The only thing that I can come up with, and a lot of pundits agree with me, the only reason why you didn't see law enforcement taking them down before is they were giving something in return. What was that they were giving in return? I'm not sure. Was it information? There's allegations that the Maxwell Epstein team were deep state informants, giving information on all of these different characters that were going down there. That they were getting information for the U.S. government on some of these world leaders that were coming to the island and showing just how devilish and evil they are. And again, do I know if that's true or not? I don't know. But that's some of the stuff that's being put out there in the media because they were never taken down. And it was so obvious and in your face that many of the public was calling this stuff out before it was the cool thing to do. And that's one of my biggest gripes with the informant process and the government process. If you've got a bad actor, especially some pedophile pimpering, sex trafficking, it to me, I don't give a damn what information you're providing. You need to be locked up. You need to be locked up like yesterday. And I think the federal government officials, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, what you are, lizard person or not, your ass needs to be held accountable too. But will anything happen? Well, I'll just pump the brakes on that thought process for a second. Let's get into some of these documents that you've seen. If you have time, if you have thousands of hours, there's a lot of links out there that are claiming to be the authentic items, depositions, flight logs, exhibits, different information that you can find who was on the island, who was associating with him. You can hear firsthand accounts from Maxwell and Epstein themselves as to what was going on. You hear in the media that Clinton and others who the hell was that guy? The guy in the wheelchair. There's articles saying that, what the hell was his name? That he was partaking in massive sexual orgies and parties. But what is true? Because you're also seeing people claiming, and I've seen the documents themselves, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if these are true or not, and I'm digging through it to try and verify. Okay, you're claiming individuals on social media that actors like Adam Schiff, Jimmy Kimmel, and others were in there, and then you read articles where those individuals are saying, "The hell we were." There's nowhere our names even mentioned in the documents, but then you actually see documents that people are pushing out there in the stream of information online, alleging that this is true. Same thing happens with Donald Trump. I've seen article after article saying that there was no mention of Donald Trump ever being on the island, ever being in a plane, but yet you still have people pushing these documents out there claiming that they were in the batch of information the court released, saying that Trump was partaking in all of this. And all everybody's denying it. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? I mean, in an era where you have AI that can create damn near anything, videos, audio, documents, what do you believe? Well, to me, that in and of itself would require me, if I'm the head of the DOJ, if I'm the head of any law enforcement apparatus, why isn't this stuff being investigated? Why aren't these names that are being put out there simply investigated? Looking at the documents that have been released, calling for all the documents to be released, why can't we continue these investigations? Why haven't these investigations been going on for quite some time? Well, I'll tell you this, the reaction in the media has been pretty crazy. Hear from Fox News first.
Yes, Bill Clinton, forever known as the 42nd president, also now known as John Doe 36, according to this ABC News report about some Epstein documents that are going to be released by the end of this week. Here's what we're told.
When they checked the plane log, Bill Clinton, who is a very good friend of Epstein, he was on the plane about 27 or 28 times. So why did he say four times? And then the question you have to ask is, did Bill Clinton go to the island? Because Epstein had an island.
I hate that audio. You've got the planes and helicopters in the back, but that is an old clip. I'm sorry, I forgot to cut it from Fox and MSNBC, but that's an old clip played on MSNBC where it says Trump is defending, promoting the Epstein conspiracy about the Clintons. Now you see it. You have mainstream media saying, yeah, we've read through all of this stuff, but it goes back to even how mainstream media was defending all of this garbage by saying, no, it's just a conspiracy. Don't believe these people. Here's Megyn Kelly.
It's all fascinating, and we're not done with Jeffrey Epstein. I can tell you that for a fact. Can't tell you how I know, but I can tell you for a fact, we're going to hear a lot more about Jeffrey Epstein in the coming year, and you may be even hearing from him directly.
So what does that mean? What does that mean that Megyn Kelly with a smile on her face is saying, you're going to hear a lot more. You're going to hear a hell of a lot more about Jeffrey Epstein here in the coming year. And she won't tell you how. She won't tell you what she knows, how she knows. But I'll tell you all of this stuff that you're seeing in the media. Then you get people on MSNBC, CNN, defending what is happening.
Obviously suggests any wrongdoing by the former president, suggests that he was involved in a crime.
I thank God.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that you have to hear the mainstream media defending Bill Clinton once again. I mean, we've seen pictures, and these pictures were coming out before AI was a big thing, about how horrendous this man was, getting back massages from young girls and different testimony. You've got all the previous testimony from the individuals that claimed he was a trashy person back when he ran for president. But what is going to happen? What's going to happen with all of this? I don't know if anything's going to happen. I mean, you've got videos and documents that link the Epsteins to a connection with Disney. How Disney, allegedly, was sending kids and allowing kids to go snorkeling and visiting Epstein Island. We know we see many different pictures of Epstein and others at Disney with kids. And those same kids are in pictures This is all what's being reported on news media. Those same kids are in pictures on the plane hours later. What the hell's going on? What is going on? Why has nothing happened? Why isn't this criminal enterprise being attacked? It sickens me. And I just, over the holiday weekend, I watched The Sound of Freedom. And that's another sickening video or movie, but it's true. And I think you have to watch it. You have to watch it to see what evil we're dealing with today. When you have more slavery happening in the world today compared to when this nation was founded, I think Republican, Democrat, whatever the hell you are, you should be ticked off and want to stand and want to fight to ensure that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is something everyone around this world can enjoy, not just those that can afford it. Well, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about this new year, the new goals, and much, much more dealing with insanity. Like I said, are we going to be stuck in a 2024 where politicians are doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Or are we going to learn from the ways of the past, what worked, what didn't work, and implement anew? We'll talk all about that and so much more here on SR1 Sundays News Talk STL. I am Nick Schroer. You probably hate me because I'm Republican, but I love you. God loves you. So don't go anywhere.
Well, I've been here for 2 long years. I finally made the warden my friend.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
And so he sentenced me to a life of ease.
SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
Only talk to God when I need a favor. And I only...
A razor wire does not prevent. It does not prevent non-citizens from unlawfully crossing. That's not what it does. If anything, it puts at risk, it puts the lives of the Border Patrol at risk. It puts them in danger. That's what the razor wire does. And that's what the Governor Abbott is doing. Again, a political stunt that doesn't actually fix the problem and puts Border Patrol agents...
fixing it right now.
Welcome back to another round here on News Talk STL. Standified, Nick Schroer, and I am back, and I am still ticked off from last year's antics with the Biden administration, with rhinos, with damn near everybody that stood in the way of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness being a beacon of hope here in the United States. Yeah, so that was Corinne Jean-Pierre spitting the anti-facts, spitting the fake news, just like she was in 2023. And as I said previously, look, insanity is, as Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. Well, here we are. And that is Corinne Jean-Pierre, the spokeswoman for the Biden administration, pushing forth all of this garbage. So let's focus on what really, really works. You know, for the Democrats that are out there that say walls don't work. Well, all of a sudden you have Democrats, and we'll talk about this in a little bit in more detail, but now you have Democrats saying walls do work and walls should be implemented here in the state of Missouri. That's interesting. But you've got Corinne Jean-Pierre still saying that barriers at the border won't work. Razor wire is only there to hurt the National Guard and to hurt law enforcement. Please someone with a brain. Because I've got a brain. I think Corinne Jean-Pierre's got a brain. Somebody explain that to me. That razor wire doesn't keep people out? Well, what is it there for then? Because I see it all over fences, walls, gates, around federal buildings, around prisons, around all of these places that you want to keep people out of, or in some instances, keep them inside of. You deter them from trying to climb over that wall, that gate, that fence with razor wire. But now the Democrat Party has gone so low to think you're so stupid that they're just going to spit whatever garbage and think you'll fall right in line with it. And that has been happening here in Missouri as well. You've got Deshara Jones, the mayor of St. Louis City, where crime is out of control, economic opportunities are depleted, the region is depleted, crime is spreading, tourism is down, population is down, education still sucks, and there's basically no opportunities if you live within the confines of the city of St. Louis to get your kid an adequate education. Now we have her prioritizing her political agenda, and the Marxist regressive Democrats that work with her in her administration prioritizing their force over your body and your will. We saw at the end of the week that Deshara Jones and her party of knuckleheads instituted a mask mandate again, even though the science is there that shows this crap does not work. She's prioritizing a mask mandate again, which Republican pundits, political pundits, political officials, people with a brain were standing up saying, hell no, not again. Even Democrats were standing up saying, this is an overreach. It's not a state of emergency. We're not falling for your garbage again. And give credit where credit's due. I think that there was some pressure put on her administration by Governor Parson. So, again, we have Democrats not learning from the facts, not learning from past experience about how terrible these things are. But that was quickly overturned, and she saw the light of day that there was going to be a scrap and she was going to lose. So she said, no, forget about that. And again, that goes to the point of, if you firmly believe that this was going to stop whatever cause, whatever disease, whatever illness, ailment is running around in the city of St. Louis, if you thought masks would really help it to the point where you were going to use the government's arm to force people to mask up or ticket them or put them in jail if they didn't, wouldn't you defend that to the T? Like, wouldn't you defend that all day long if you firmly believe that? And when you crumble, like, you fall apart as soon as any pressure, you know, was put on you. That shows that you really didn't believe masks worked, that you were more interested in using the long arm of government to expand your tyrannical reach and oppressing your people, expanding government and taking away their individual rights. This is something that the Freedom Caucus has been loud and clear that we want to zero in on and fight. So, you know, looking at some of the other areas where, okay, are we learning? Is this going to be a new year? Is this going to be new goals, new ideas? Or are we putting an end to doing the same thing over and over again? Well, the Justice Department, you just heard that the Biden administration doesn't agree with how Texas is defending their own borders. Now the Justice Department is suing Texas over Texas Senate Bill 4 that makes it illegal for you to be inside the state of Texas as an illegal immigrant. If you're not here legally, you can be arrested and removed from the state of Texas. Governor Abbott's been loud and clear that, you know, he's tried damn near everything. He's done the buoys in the river. He's done the razor wire. He's put up parts of the wall himself to ensure that illegal immigration, human trafficking, drug trafficking, terrorists wouldn't be coming in here. But the Biden administration has defeated them in their momentum every step of the way, using the long arm of the federal government. And I think any 10th Amendmenters out there, that's a weird word, any 10th Amendment supporters and anyone that believes in states' rights would clearly point to the fact that, yeah, the federal government is overreaching. Texas does have the ability and the opportunity and the legal constitutional rights to defend its homeland, to defend its borders from invasion. So on that note, Texas is now being sued by the federal government. Government saying it's not constitutional. So hopefully we'll have some judges that can read the Constitution and tell the federal government where to stick it. Hopefully we've got some originalists out there that will read the black letter of the law and say, no, federal government, this isn't your area. And now we have Missouri
legislative leadership, have you all learned your lesson that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is insanity? Let's go back to the drawing board. We have a supermajority Republican Party. What have we done? Well, we had Secretary of State, a friend of mine, and, you know, I've never attacked Jay Ashcroft on anything, agreed with him on a lot of things. But here recently, I think he goes on the Vic Porcelli show on Friday on News Talk STL to talk about how the Freedom Caucus is a joke. He talks about the members haven't done anything. Well, just quickly, in my mind, because I didn't even have this on the notes to talk about. Before we get into the legislative leadership of the state of Missouri, let's talk about this statement from somebody running for governor, somebody running and trying to get the votes of those grassroots people out there that are sick and tired and applaud the Freedom Caucus from forming. He goes on radio and says that Freedom Caucus members haven't done anything in the state. Well, Jay, I've only been there since 2017. But I can tell you that I've increased, with language that we've gotten on two bills, increased criminal penalties on people that are targeting law enforcement, fire, EMS. I passed single-handedly my language with other, and I don't want to say single-handedly, that was the wrong word, but it was my bill and not an amendment. But this was a group effort of Freedom Caucus members. Adam Schnelting was a part. Andrew Koenig handled it in the Senate. Bob Onder, Bill, like all of these other individuals, Eric Burleson, who's there. My House Bill 126, that was monumental. The Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act. Even Ben Shapiro, after its passage, came out to say the way that that bill was crafted was unlike any other pro-life bill in the nation. And ultimately, with the language that was put in there, now we have more money going towards pregnancy resource centers, private money going to pregnancy resource centers, not government money, helping women in need. Helping women that, you know, single moms that want to have that baby, but can't figure out how they can make ends meet. And effectively, that bill became the first in the nation to stop abortion and go back to the drawing board once Dobbs' decision overruled Roe v. Wade. Well, let's talk about the tax cuts, too. Let's talk about constitutional carry. Let's talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act. The list goes on of the things that were spearheaded by, and these are things that were done and not even stopped. These are things that were done by Freedom Caucus members. So, Jay, I'd like you to try and set these political issues that you have, these personality conflicts that you have, because, yes, you are running against somebody for governor, another friend of mine, a Freedom Caucus member. But attacking the Freedom Caucus and saying we've never done anything, it's not historically correct. Actually, it's factually wrong. Now let's zero in on the Missouri legislative leadership, you know, continuing to sit idly by while somebody else went on radio and attacked another member. We have grown men and women slap fighting, name calling, and getting into personal beefs. And instead of the leaders stepping up to say, knock it the hell off, they just sit idly by. And all of this is boiling over. And they're using that as a cause to shut things down. Not the Freedom Caucus. Things were shut down this past Thursday. You had one senator go on radio before stepping foot in a prayer breakfast. You would think if you're about to hear the good Lord's word, you don't want to spread animosity and fake news and fear and name calling on the radio. But that's what happened. Thursday, a certain senator goes on radio, starts name calling and picking one of the Freedom Caucus members out by name, personally attacking him on radio, stating that the Freedom Caucus is a joke, then goes and sits in a prayer breakfast. Well, that member that was called out, that's a member of the Freedom Caucus, said, well, let me explain to you. Let me have a conversation with you. Calls out the member. They have a conversation on the floor on Thursday. Again, this is a day no bills have even gotten to committee yet. You need a second read those. We talked about the first reading on Wednesday. These have to now be second read, and then leadership can send them to whatever committees. So a conversation ensues on the floor between the two members that obviously don't like each other, but that shouldn't matter in politics. Denny Hoskins, the member that was attacked, calls out the other senator and says, well, you've got a problem with our bills to deal with the video lottery terminals, to deal with sports betting. Here's why I'm doing it. Whether you agree with it or not, He says that his goal is to take that money, that revenue, and give it to the veterans. Give it to veterans' homes, the Veterans Commission, and help veterans here in the state of Missouri. Make the state of Missouri a prosperous state for veterans to come live, retire at, enjoy life at. And after that conversation, you have Senator Hoskins asking this other senator, well, you know, what's your plan? And it becomes, well, you're not conservative because you did this. You're not conservative. It's a stupid conversation. I'll tell you right now, it's a stupid conversation to have. But if you're going to have that conversation, if you're going to punch back when you're being smeared in the media, I think that was the way to do it, to discuss, hey, you must not agree with my bill. You must not understand it fully. Here's my explanation of why I think this is appropriate and how this fits in line with the Freedom Caucus platform. Leadership, instead of communicating and contacting any of the members that were on the floor to say, okay, guys, let's put an end to this. It might be going a little bit below the belt, which I don't think it did. They thought it did. But even if you believe that that conversation was going below the belt, wouldn't you communicate with the Freedom Caucus? Wouldn't you communicate with anyone? Instead, they just shut it down, adjourned for the day, did not have the ability. And I don't know if that was the plan. I don't know if that was the overall plan, because now you hear in the media, leadership is blaming the Freedom Caucus for not having any bill referrals for next week. Well, that's the true story, folks. That's the truth that you're going to get here. Whether I like it or you don't like it, I'm going to try and report the most unbiased fashion imaginable. In this year, we're actually going back into the Capitol. We're going to have the opportunity to sit with legislators firsthand after they come off the floor. And thank God to Phil Valenti and SR1 Newstalk STL for allowing us to do that. But what's the end result here? Missouri state legislative leadership is trying to do the same exact thing and expecting different results. I don't know. I don't know why this is still happening, but rest assured, I'm pissed off, and they're going to hear a lot from me if this continues.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder. SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder.
Your back, it's a white boy summer. Whole iPhone full of white boy gunners. We all come up from the bottom like the pipes in the gutter. Got the shotgun going bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to another round here on News Talk STL. Thank you all, Jeff and Joe and the whole crew, for letting me walk that fine line every single Sunday, 8 to 10 p.m. here on SR1 Sundays. I am Nick Schroeder. Welcome back to Stand a Fight. Phil, get it ready. This is round 4. Love that bell, because freedom is ringing again here in the state of Missouri. As I mentioned before, the Freedom Caucus. Freedom Caucus is here to stay. Its roots have been planted over the past few months. There's been some discussions, you know, what is going to happen going into 2024. We got to get personal property tax done. We've got to get initiative petition done. We've got to get our Second Amendment solidified and protected. So many things. Tax cuts, overgrowth spending, overgrowth of our government. Public safety needs to be prioritized. Hopefully this is going to be the year when leadership, Republicans, work together and stop the BS that has been stifling actual progress for conservative Missourians. Well, I'll tell you, we do have some news here. Over the break, I saw that there was a clip, and this is kind of disturbing, guys. So I hope you're ready. This is audio from allegedly, and I don't know if this is true or not. This is purported to be audio from the Epstein Island. And this is Bill Clinton being asked what he's doing on the Epstein Island.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Me? Just hanging around.
Oh, man, that's tough. That's tough. Actually, that's Beetlejuice, the guy who's always on, another radio station that was very popular before. The host was very popular. There was movies made about him. And now he's jumped ship and going completely left-wing bonkers and hates Donald Trump so much. So I'll tell you, the things that we were talking about previously, very important stuff. Keep your eye on. The one thing that you need to keep your eye on is the chaos involving Trump. The shredding of our Constitution that some states like Maine, and we talked about that Secretary of State who's not even elected by the people. The Secretary of State, we just mentioned Jay Ashcroft in our state, he was elected by the people. Went through a primary, went to the general election, has done that twice. But guess who doesn't have to be elected by the people? That's the Secretary of State of Maine, who's elected by the legislature, selected by the legislature. And then you have the issue in Colorado that's made its way to the Supreme Court. So now the Supreme Court, and this is on MSNBC, or MSN, I'm sorry, too many damn letters thrown around. It says that the attorney generals of Indiana, West Virginia, and 25 other states warned the Supreme Court, who's just taken up the Colorado Supreme Court case, the high court in Colorado, pun intended. The Supreme Court back in Colorado declared that Trump was an insurrectionist by using something in the Constitution after the Civil War, linked to the Civil War, to stop Confederates, racist ass Democrat Confederates, from getting control of office. So under this 14th Amendment, under this skewed view of the 14th Amendment, Colorado Supreme Court says he's an insurrectionist. It's vast consequences that reach far beyond Colorado. So the nation's highest court, the U.S. Supreme Court, will hear arguments on February 8th in a set, it says, reading here, so briefs are set to be submitted by the January 18th deadline. The justices issued an administrative stay that orders the Colorado Secretary of State to put Donald Trump back on the GOP primary ballot, at least until the case is decided. So this is going to be very interesting. I think when you look at what Colorado has done, what Maine has done, it's no different than what Democrats have done in the past. We spoke about it last week, how you had, what was it, 10 different states in 1860? 1860 Democrats took a guy off the ballot because they disagreed with them. They wanted to keep slavery. They wanted to keep treating Americans that had a little bit darker skin than they did. They wanted to treat them differently. And treat them as property, treat them as animals. And this guy by the name of Abraham Lincoln and his Republican Party, these extremists that were labeled by the media back then and the Democrats back then and the majority back then, labeled the Republicans as extremists, insurrectionists. So they took Abraham Lincoln off of the ballot in 10 states in the 1860s. And when that didn't work, what happened? When Abraham Lincoln kicked their butts and said, nah, we ain't dealing with that, they formed the KKK. The Democrats formed the KKK in 1865 to intimidate, threaten, and even kill Republicans, especially those Republicans that either looked like they had a little bit darker colored skin than they did, or supported Republicans that supported those that had darker complected skin to have equal rights. The refusal to allow Republicans to vote, the election interference, the voter intimidation, and cheating by not counting the votes properly. We saw that in that clip last week from the Free State of Jones. These black Republicans, a couple white Republicans come in fighting for the rights. They're being intimidated. You had guys with guns trying to intimidate them from even getting in there. When they went to go and vote, the election authority there says, nah, we don't have Republican ballots. We're already hearing on social media, and I can't verify it, but you're hearing claims that some people are saying they're trying to get ballots, they're trying to get mail-in ballots, and they're not accepting, they're not even allowing you to fill out that you're Republican. We're still digging into that, so if you have any insight, let us know. Contact SR1, contact me on the Stand and Fight pages. But you saw that you had, at that time in the 1860s, you had Democrats say, no, we're not going to let you vote. We don't have the Democrat ballots. But it took those men and women to stand and fight to say, okay, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Give us our damn ballots. Give us back our rights. And what did the weak, spineless Democrat cowards do? They're okay, you can vote. But then that election that we saw in that movie, which is factually correct, it's linked to factual instances, the Democrats won, even though there were more Republican votes actually cast that were in the end counted. So you have Democrats cheating, lying, stealing. And when that didn't win, when Republicans, white Americans, black Americans, Americans weren't intimidated by the Democrats, what did they do? They then passed Jim Crow laws. They then stood in the way of equal rights being given to every human being across the United States. Like I said, I rewatched that movie. After I played that clip, I rewatched that movie from a couple years ago, The Free State of Jones. And it blew me away. Yeah, I also watched the Elvis movie. That's like a biopic that came out just a couple years ago. It's got Creepo Tom Hanks playing the Colonel. Both of these movies, really good. But both of these movies that took place at vastly different times in our history, they had one thing in common. You would think that the times would change and adapt, and we wouldn't be repeating the same thing over and over again, right? But if you listen to the cultural Marxists that are wanting to brainwash your kids and teach your kids this factually incorrect crap, that the nation, all white American nationalists, our founding fathers, all of this nation was built on these racist old white men, and you're a terrible racist if you support the United States. You would think that that it's a race of people or even a sex of humans, notably straight white males, that are the ones to blame. But if you look at the past, get past all that fictional BS that the Democrats and the regressives are wanting you to believe is true. You get past that and go to the actual history of our nation, go to the actual history of our world. What you'll see is that the scars of our nation are not the scars of the men and women that live here. Those scars of our nation are the scars of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party that's responsible for the vast majority of the heinous acts that occurred within our nation. It's the Democrat Party that has been responsible for some of the most atrocious acts that have occurred on our nation's soil. And who are the Republicans? Well, they're a group of pissed off extremists that said, no, we're going to stand up, risk life and limb, and fight for the preservation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans. When you look back at our founding documents, it was Jefferson that snuck that language in, that all men are created equal. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. That was linked by the Republican Party to cover all black, white, any color, any sex, all humans. And they were treated, those Republicans that stood up, were labeled as being extremists, were labeled as being threats to American sovereignty. They were basically treated the same way that Republicans are today. And when you look at this group of like-minded individuals that formed a group in 1854, ready and willing to fight for individual rights, ready to fight for freedom and justice for all. Even when the powers that be at the time threatened to kill them, threatened to hang them, threatened to do very bad things to them, they said, no, we're still going to fight for what is right in this nation and what's constitutionally right. You know, this nation that the Democrats like you to think that this was not a Christian nation. And we've said time and time and time and time again, Democrats, you're wrong. The history books show that this is a nation founded by men and women, Christian men and women, that were led by God. Now, you look at freedom of religion, you look at our constitutional rights, and it clearly states that the government cannot enact a government religion. You can't force upon a religion for Americans to to join or be punished. But yes, this is a nation, a godly nation, a Christian nation. And those Republicans back in 1854 that fought, were intimidated, that were killed in the 1860s and following. The intimidations, the massacres at the hands of the Democrats back then, it's still happening today. Republicans are still being treated like insurrectionists. While we have states wanting to keep a man that was trying to build a wall to keep all the riffraff out and enforce a legal immigration system to stop the human trafficking, to stop the drug trafficking, to stop terrorists from being on the terror watch list, getting caught on our borders and just caught and released. There are certain states, certain Democrats, certain extremists that are trying to keep a man off of the ballot, just like they did in the 1860s. You have media in the Democrat Party that is labeling Republicans and anyone defending that man and his constitutional rights, whether you are going to vote for him or not. Anyone who's defending his right to be on that ballot, to secure our constitutional rights, to not misinterpret the 14th Amendment to some idiotic version. When you've got a man that's never even been tried for being an insurrectionist, never been convicted of being an insurrectionist. When you look at the history of it, linked to the Civil War, this was to stop Democrat Confederates from gaining power. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump. This has nothing to do. The 14th Amendment has nothing to do with these heinous allegations that involve police at the time opening the doors to the Capitol, ushering people through, taking them on tours, beating the hell out of them, working with undercovers, having idiots like Liz Cheney and Adam Crybaby Kinzinger hiding the evidence and trying to keep the evidence from you, mind you, that show that this was a setup, this was a con job, and the media was running on this narrative to try and do whatever they can to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. The establishment is scared, shaking in their boots, that he actually is getting stronger. When you look at the polls, all of the different, you know, the media and the Democrats like to put all of these individuals, these Americans, in different buckets. They try to keep us divided. They try to keep us, you know, not united, to understand that, look, I don't care what you look like. Martin Luther King's dream of discussing, look, maybe one day we can have a world where it doesn't matter what you look like, your skin tone, your sex, your culture. Maybe one day we will all realize that we are all American. But looking at these different polls where they do keep us in different buckets, man, it's looking good for Trump. Scares the hell out of the powers that be, because they don't want him in there again. They want somebody that we're going to talk about here briefly in the next segment that will do their bidding, take us to war. But come hell or high water, the Freedom Caucus, freedom-loving Missourians, freedom-loving Americans, ain't gonna take it no more.
Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz.
Way down there, hoochie-coochie, man.
Yes, on Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schwartz.
We have is clearly an international and federal crisis that local governments are being asked to subsidize, and this is unsustainable. None of our local economies are positioned to be able to carry on such a mission. And what we have attempted to do is to create structure and some coordination around this humanitarian crisis. And unfortunately, the governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, is determined to continue to sow seeds of chaos. And last night and several nights before, a number of buses continue to arrive in the city of Chicago and throughout the country without any coordination. And now he's taken on this very dangerous task of placing individuals on airplanes and flying them into our various cities. This is certainly a matter of not just of our national security, but it's the type of chaos that this governor is committed to administering.
That was Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson discussing how big of a hypocrite he is, putting his money where his mouth is, something he does not want to do. But we're going to discuss that and so much more this round. Round five here on Newstalk STL, SR1 Sundays, 101.9, 94.1. Catch us anywhere. Podcasts are available. Thank you to all of the sponsors you've been hearing throughout the show, because we're going to need you. We're going to need you this year to stand and fight with us, to call out this insanity. You saw it there firsthand that the Democrats are not liking the fact that Governor Abbott, and I like how the mayor says he's the governor of Abbott. Is that, I mean, I wish I was the governor of Schroer. Of all the Schroers out there, I want to be the governor for the namesake. But be that as it may, Chicago is in some dire straits right now. And we're seeing that the city of St. Louis, this hits close to home. The city of St. Louis is wanting to take some of these illegal immigrants. And I like how the mass media, they change it. They change the words all the damn time. Immigrants, humanitarian, whatever the hell it is. Now it's migrants. No, they're illegal immigrants. They came here illegally. Now they're being shipped all throughout the United States. And that's one of the things I wish Governor Abbott would say, nope, we're going to put you on a plane, take you back to Mexico, take you back to wherever the hell you just came from. Because this stuff of shipping them throughout the United States, I think is going to have some absolute unintended consequences, I think, in my opinion. I understand why you're doing it. I applauded you at first. Now, I want to know why these illegal immigrants are being able to get on planes without going through the grueling process that we all have had to do to get a real ID, something which I stood, Congressman Eric Burleson, Bill Eigel, Rick Bratton, many others in the Freedom Caucus, I think all in the Freedom Caucus that were there at that time when the bills came up, to make us, we were the last one that said, no, we're not dealing with these real IDs. That's a federal issue. You're getting involved in our 10th Amendment rights. We said no, but ultimately the swamp got their way. But why is it that the illegal immigrants can jump on these planes and go throughout our United States without having real ID, without having a passport? But the issue in Chicago is hitting a tipping point, because now you have Democrats calling on the guy that replaced Beetlejuice to start looking at the constitutional rights and giving these things due process.
Johnson says because of an unexpected budget surplus, he will allocate $95 million from the federal COVID funds to pay for the migrant costs without any city council approval. Mayor Johnson briefed aldermen Friday.
It was the mayor basically said, you know, we want to avoid a vote on the city council. And to me, that is not appropriate.
We should have known that there was $95 million laying around that we could have used and appropriated for something else.
We need to make sure that we have proper oversight of those dollars.
In a printed statement, the city said Friday that $95 million would go towards the new arrivals' mission, including leases for shelters, food services, and shelter staffing. When asked today, however, how does that happen without aldermen weighing in? The mayor's team says the new arrivals mission has significantly expanded government services, so using ARPA funds to replace those expenditures is an appropriate use of funds.
In the last administration with Lightfoot, we voted on everything. Every expenditure of ARP funding or any other CARES Act funding, we always had a vote.
COVID relief money was supposed to go towards relief for the people of the city of Chicago, not migrants that are migrating to our city.
Mayor Johnson's office says there is another $400 million in COVID money that will be allocated for community programs. Johnson.
Wow. Old Johnson swinging it around. That's his power. He's swinging around. Get your mind out of the gutter. This is a guy that even is more tyrannical than Beetlejuice Lightfoot, according to the Democrat alderman in the city of Chicago. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I knew the Cubs sucked, being a Cardinals fan. Got to get that out there. I am a fan of the Chicago White Sox. Frank Thomas was my number one player growing up. Big Hurt, number 35. But it is hurting to see that all of this democracy that the Democrats keep talking that they love so much, pretty quiet when it comes to democracy dying. And again, I've been very clear where I come, where my position is on democracy and the Republic and elected officials doing the bidding of the people. But I will stand with those individuals on the Board of Aldermen in Chicago that are calling this crap out. Because we don't need these little dictators like Johnson, like Nikki Haley or others. And I mention her because she's back in the news, even though she's nowhere near Donald Trump in the polls. She's nowhere near Donald Trump in the polls. She keeps getting put out as some rock star in the media's eyes. She was the one that the media was saying falsely claiming that Trump was considering her for vice president. And you've heard from the Trump administration or the Trump team, Trump campaign, that no, that's not going to happen. Don Jr. even said, over my dead body, will that happen? And here's Tucker Carlson on this lady, Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley is a liberal. She is all in on the four tenets of neoliberalism, which are white guilt, a finance-based economy, mass immigration, and endless neocon war. Strip away all the outward characteristics, and Nikki Haley is identical in her priorities to Joe Biden and the people who back Joe Biden.
Not a surprise, because look, when she was governor, I think in South Carolina, there were a lot of things that Republicans disagreed with her on. She goes off into the sunset and becomes the UN ambassador. There were the moments where she had her hand in the air, you know, the only one saying, nah, United States isn't going to stand for this, and gained a little bit of popularity there. But looking at her upbringing, which has been called out by another Indian American, someone who immigrated here, their family immigrated here from India, Vivek Ramaswamy, he's called her out. He's called her out on many things, including this.
Who are these people propping up? It's not Biden, and it's not even Gavin Newsom. It's Nikki Haley within the Republican Party itself.
Watching the media reaction to Nikki Haley is one of the things that alerted me that something's going on here. Every cable news channel is promoting Nikki Haley, and her poll numbers wouldn't seem to justify that level of enthusiasm.
Actually, the deep state, and I would say the managerial class more broadly, is fundamentally nonpartisan. They have their core objectives, and Nikki makes for a far better Trojan horse to actually accomplish that objective than anybody else. And so when you look at the dynamics within the mega donor class or otherwise, it is now crystal clear to me that they want to narrow this down to be a two-horse race between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley. They want it one way or another, by hell or high water, take Donald Trump out, eliminate him from competition, and prop Nikki Haley up to just waltz straight in to keep the war machine humming and to effectively keep the...
Well, I'm going to stop you there, Vivek, because on the Tucker Carlson Network clip on social media, They put a blip up there from the LA Times, and it was an opinion piece saying that Nikki Haley is the best option to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. So, of course, you have all of these news articles and clippings, New York Times, the Washington Times, you name it, that are pushing for Nikki Haley to be victorious. And had a conversation with Susie Moore not too long ago from Red State. She's a regular here on Newstalk STL, and we were discussing, and she even said that the individuals that she knows and the individuals that I know that are supporting Nikki Haley are the never Trumpers. They're the I don't even want to say center left. They're more left of center moderates. They claim to be moderates or independents or even Democrats that know that Joe Biden is not the way to go, that Joe Biden is not reflecting the Democrat Party that they grew up with. So there's a lot of truth in what Tucker Carlson, Vivek Ramaswamy, and others are saying about Nikki Haley. And when Nikki Haley's justifying the fact that, no, parents should absolutely have the right, according to Nikki Haley, to pump their kids full of all of these different toxins, these puberty blockers, these hormone replacements, chop their sexual reproductive organs off at 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever they think is best. No, that's why we have laws on child abuse. And I think the laws in the state of Missouri on child abuse are very clear. And if you are a practitioner or a parent that is allowing this stuff to happen, you should be prosecuted. Should absolutely be prosecuted for taking advantage of these very impressionable minds. But Nikki Haley says that that should still be going on. Nikki Haley wants us to get in war. Go to war with who? Russia? North Korea? Hamas? I don't know. She is not the conservative that I think we, the people in the state of Missouri, ever want to go anywhere near the executive branch. You know, and I mentioned that editorial by the LA Times. I want to mention another editorial that happened here recently in the state of Missouri. I saw it. I came across on X, the minority leader, J.J. Rizzo, minority leader from Kansas City. He's a Democrat, sits right behind me on the Senate floor. I've had great conversations with him on a number of different issues. We don't always agree. And this is one of the times we do not agree. But we kind of agree because the Democrats now are putting forth an opinion piece that basically says they agree that walls work. However, they want to build a wall. They want to build a wall around a firewall, they say, around MAGA, far-right extreme Republicans in the Missouri Senate. They want to protect you. Government wants to protect you. The Democrats want to protect you. And what are those nine words that Ronald Reagan said are the most deadly, most dangerous? I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. Well, that's what the Democrat Party is saying. That's what the minority leader in the Senate, J.J. Rizzo, is saying is, hey, walls work. We're from the government. We're here to help, and we want to protect you from these crazy people that want to spend our tax dollars helping you, cut our tax dollars so you don't have to take more out of your paycheck. But JJ, I will agree. It is time to build a wall. It's time to build a wall at our southern border because we still have fentanyl flooding into our state from the southern border. We still have human trafficking occurring under our very eyes. We've seen it in St. Charles County, not necessarily related to the southern border, but we see signs at truck stops all over the place that human trafficking, sexual trafficking is something to watch out for. And you talk to law enforcement, they say it's still occurring under our very eyes. So respectfully, I'm glad you finally realize that walls do work. I'm really happy to see the Missouri Democrat Party admitting that walls work to keep people safe. But it's not that Missourians should be protected from politicians that want to keep we the people a priority above any other country, any other cause, any other conflict. It's the massive flood of military-aged men that are coming into this nation, coming into our United States illegally, and then coming into a city near you from nations that hate us. They're coming from countries that hate us. Those are the people we should be worried about. So, Senator, let's build a wall. But let's build a wall around the southern border and not around politicians that want to protect we the people from tyrannical elected officials that will sit idly by, seeing our individual rights stripped, seeing our Constitution shredded into pieces. And they're more worried about political points than they are protecting we the people. So coming up next hour, I know, or not next hour, holy cow, that'd be 3 hours. Coming up next segment, last final segment, you've been riding the lightning with us all night, and we're finally going to talk about it. There's been some crazy shakeups, and there might be more in Missouri politics as we've seen. We've seen one congressman say, enough is enough, I'm going home. How many will there be after that, and who is going to take his place? Stick with us and you'll find all about that and so much more here on Stand and Fight 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL SR1 Sundays. Stand and Fight. Hot damn desert, sitting in a tank. Well, every time the wife talks, baby gets mentioned. I'm so broke I can't pay attention. Lord, how it tears me. SR1 Sundays. Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer. Give me one reason to stay, and I'll turn right back around.
your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
Welcome back to the final round here on News Talk STL SR1 Sundays. Man, I love music. I love good music. I am Nick Schroer. I don't like bad music, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, I wish we could do a whole show on just music that you should be putting into your ears over these airwaves. I don't listen to a lot of the music that's on the radio now. So maybe that would help. Maybe we just need to have some sprinkle in 2024 music you should be listening to. But I am Nick Schroer. This is the final round. Phil, get that bad boy ready and ring the damn bell. There she is. So let us start. Before we jump in the whole congressional madness that is happening in the state of Missouri, and it could be getting worse, there's a big storm that's on the way. And over the break, I just got a text message from Senate Communications, from Senate leadership, saying, yeah, we don't know what to expect. There is going to be a bad storm, but we're still going to go in and try to do the people's work. And amen, we should be doing that. And I'll tell you what, all the bad stuff that we just discussed, there is hope. There is hope. And look, I'm not pledging allegiance to this man or to this person or to this party, but he is the only one in this crowd of all of these elected officials that I think should be able to rein in the government. He started to, didn't succeed in all of it, but started to rein in the government before they tried to bring him down. Man, these words hit home.
Not you. We will love our country. We will take care of our country. We will pray to God for our strength and for our liberty. We will pray for God, and we will be with God, because we are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make it proud. We will make America safe again. It's going to be safe.
God bless that man. I love his little impromptu. Yes, we will. China. I can't wait until he starts debating some of these people like Nikki Haley. I know there's going to be a town hall or something coming up soon. I don't know how they're going to illustrate all of that. But Trump's one of the only ones. Dinesh is right behind him. DeSantis isn't that bad himself. I think DeSantis has done a great job as governor. Been very disappointing on this campaign trail for president and how he is planning to beat Donald Trump. I mean, if he came out there, I said this before, if he came out there and said, look, Donald Trump had a great plan. Donald Trump didn't do a great job effectuating that plan because he kept a lot of these swamp creatures on. We need a clean house. We need to go from scratch, use his blueprints of what he did from 2016 to 2020. Use that to bounce off of and do it better, do it bigger, and actually get it done. But instead, it's the mudslinging. It's the attacks that the Republicans keep shooting themselves in the foot with this crap. That's what I'm trying to tell Senate leadership. That's what I'm trying to tell Senate Republicans. That's what I'm trying to tell Republicans across the state, is if we want to remember, the work needs to be done for we the people. All this party affiliation crap can go by the wayside. And I'm talking about the blindly bending a knee to Senate leadership, to House leadership, when they say, no, we should be expanding government instead of dealing with cutting personal property tax or going after the criminals in the city of St. Louis, you name it. But we've got a Republican Party that's sounding a hell of a lot more like Democrats. Speaking of Democrats, I'm going to skip it again. This just happened. I wanted to show it to you earlier. But this is the Democrat administration from September 13th. The first part of this clip you're going to hear is from September 13th. The latter part is January 4th. Listen and let me know how you feel hearing your executive branch of the United States of America talking to you like this.
The U.S. will have visibility and will be able to engage in oversight about where the money was going and for what purpose. If Iran tries to divert the funds, we'll take action and we'll lock him up again. And there will be sufficient oversight to make sure that the request is valid and that it's going through vendors who we and the Qataris can trust will actually contract for the goods, the medical equipment, the food, whatever it is. The regime doesn't get to touch the money, Peter. Doesn't go to them. They don't get to decide ultimate destination.
And hold on real quick, because you remember all those Democrats, social media trolls, all of those left-wing lunatics that were saying, oh, that $6 billion that Kirby's talking about, that $6 billion that Iran had, oh, they're not going to be able to use that to attack us. They're not going to be able to use that to give to Hamas. They're not going to be able to increase their terrorist reign across the world and impact the United States.
And they have no direct access to it.
John, Iran made two transactions withdrawing from the previously frozen funds.
And this is January 4th. This is this week. What you just heard previously, that was September 13th. In line with all the Democrats, CNN, MSNBC, lunatic talking points. And now this is January 4th. Hey, John, here's a question.
What were those transactions for?
I don't have the details on that, Jackie. You're going to have to let me get back to you on that.
They still don't know what the hell they're doing. All these transactions that are taking place. Now we're not going to abide by all of the safety and precautions that the Democrat administration said they were going to abide by. Nah, I don't want to talk about that. Let's move on. But we're not going to move on because the world is changing in a terrible way. You now have, listen to me, you now have even the movies that are supposed to just entertain us to let us get away from the crap. Remember when sports and media and entertainment, when that was a sport, you just get away from all the political crap. Don't bring politics into sports. Don't bring politics into these movies, unless it's like a biographical or whatever the hell. But now you've got the new head of where Star Wars is going saying this crap.
What is the balance of activating a force for change, but also...
And that's not Theo Vaughn. When I first heard this clip, I thought it was Theo Vaughn interviewing the new brains behind Star Wars. It's not him. It would have been a lot more entertaining if it was.
Trying to permeate that patriarchy, that power structure.
I like to make men uncomfortable. I enjoy making men uncomfortable. It is important to be able to look into the eyes of a man and say, I am here, and recognize that. And recognize that I am working to bring something that makes you uncomfortable, and it should make you uncomfortable, because you need to change your attitude.
George Lucas would never. You want to know the problem with all of these new era Star Wars female directors? It fails to account for the fact that you already had strong female characters everywhere in Star Wars, and men and women alike loved them. Princess Leia, iconic. Ahsoka Tano, legend. Legend. Ahsoka Tano.
That was Isabel Brown commenting on the craziness that you just heard from where... these new heads of Star Wars and where they're going to take these Disney versions of Star Wars. Look, why don't you just make a good movie? Just make a good movie, a good show, entertaining. Quit injecting your garbage BS into everything. And it's everywhere. You even see, I'm going to get to the congressional madness. January 6th was just the other day. January 6th. Where the sacred ground was desecrated. But forget about the guy. Forget about the staffer that was getting things done to him in a Senate hearing room. Forget about that. Forget about all the other sacred grounds like the White House, where you had a man in drag with fake breasts showing it to the world. But now you have these actors. I mean, journalism used to be, you know, Walter Cronkite and all these others reporting the news and not injecting their spin on it. Bill O'Reilly even had his show talking about the no spin zone. He tried his best, even when he was doing it live. I know that was a big deal for him to do it live. But he even tried to take the spin out of it. But here is the sob session from just the other day. Go grab the tissue.
I'm going to try to get through this. Thank you for what you did 3 years ago today.
Please tell me your thoughts on this third anniversary. I'm gonna try to get through this.
Stop it. Friggin' weirdos. Like, seriously, we've already seen the information coming out to show all of those claims about insurrectionists. You know those guys that the MAGA Republicans that have military grade weapons, which they really don't. They wanted to overthrow a government without weapons? That doesn't make sense. They stayed in between the red lines when Capitol Police were ushering them through. That doesn't make sense. You had all these undercovers that were breaking windows and actually doing most of the damage that the government was hiding. That doesn't make sense. But cry about it. What was his name? Jonathan Capehart. So anyhow, back to reality. The congressional madness that is happening in the state of Missouri is unlike any other time that I've witnessed in politics. You know, you see some of these Republicans from McCarthy resigning. You have George Santos with all his madness. He gets kicked out of Congress. You have Republicans from Ohio, I think it is, that have resigned. So now the narrow margins where we had a slim majority are getting even slimmer. And it's looking like, at least to some, not to everybody, I think there is hope that Republicans can take back the Senate, the U.S. Senate. Could they lose the majority in the House? Possibly. Anything can happen. We saw that in 2016. We saw that in 2020. Anything can happen. And anything is happening because there were rumors that were discussed last year on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show about a congressman in the state of Missouri, Congressional District 3, Blaine Lutgemeier, who's been there for quite some time. I think he was the chair of financial services. He was chairman of a pretty powerful committee. And if he loses the majority, then he loses that position to guide that committee in the right direction, or the direction that he wants to, at least. And he is just recently, well, after those rumors came out, his team quickly denied them. No, he will be running for re-election. Well, it came out just this week, Thursday, I believe it was, that Blaine Lutgemeier is not seeking re-election. He will finish out his term, unlike some of these other weak, spineless Republicans that know liberty is on the line, or republic is on the line. Some of those weak, spineless Republicans that just packed up and left for political reasons, not for personal reasons. If you had to leave for personal reason, I got you, whatever. But now you've got Blaine Lutgemeier saying he is not running for re-election. This seat goes from St. Charles County all the way through mid-Missouri, Boone County, Columbia. And there's a lot of names that are being tossed out there as possibilities to run. You have former state representative Sarah Walsh from the Columbia area. There are rumors saying that she's considering a run. She now works with the great people at the Missouri Right to Life. Caleb Browden, the leader of the Senate from Boone County, said now he's still going to stay running for Secretary of State. You've got a great friend of the show, great friend of St. Charles County, great leader in St. Charles County, former state senator Dr. Bob Onder, is contemplating if this is the right decision to make because he's all but locked up the lieutenant governor's position. He's running right now for lieutenant governor who could preside over the Missouri Senate. He's considering it. You have Mary Elizabeth Coleman from Jefferson County. She's not even in Blaine Lutgemeier's district. She's not in Ann Wagner's district. She's in Jason Smith's district. But it gets weird because you don't necessarily have to live within that district to run for a congressional race. She's already admitted that she's going to run. But is it going to be for this race, or is it going to be for Ann Wagner's district? And just, you know, to be clear, my name has been floated. There have been many other names that have been floated. Individuals, Kurt Schaefer, who is a former senator, he's now in the lobby corps. Rob Vescovo, who lives in that area, he's a former Speaker of the House, lives over in the area that Mary Elizabeth Coleman lives in. Many of these names being floated out, but I think out of all of them, I think Bob Onder is the one that can self-fund. He's got great name ID, and he's got a team already working statewide. So to limit that back, there's a great possibility that he could run and could win if he decides to switch from lieutenant governor to Congressional District 3. And Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who's indicated she is running for Congress, there are some chances that Ann Wagner, there's rumors right now that Ann Wagner hasn't hired a election team, a campaign team. There's a lot of things happening that could indicate that Ann Wagner could retire as well, opening two congressional districts. Stay with the news here on News Talk STL. Stay with SR1 Sundays and absolutely stay with us here. Nick Schroer, staying in fight, as we will keep you updated on all of that and then some. If it happens, we're reporting it. God bless you and God bless America.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
This is SR1.